the all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
By his name we start, Allah the Almighty. Salam and welcome, dear brother and sister in faith and humanity. Inshallah, all of you are doing well. And today is Tuesday, 24th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Azar, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Retreat Calendar, and the 26th of November, 2024, of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? the clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
We thank Allah for this nice day, and we listen to one verse of the Holy Quran, verse 153 of chapter Al-Baqarah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. إن الله مع الصابرين.
O you who have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى. Man is in complete need of Allah, and he should constantly invocate for everything and seek help from the Lord. A person most naturally and reasonably can be qualified for the special blessings from Allah. Real faith can never be mere empty words. It must express or manifest itself through patience or endurance in all that befalls the individual to show his faithfulness to Allah. And the help from Allah must be sought through prayers and supplications to the Lord.
Have come from one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day shed the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
As you know, the topic of this episode of today's special is about the power of encouragement. When we encourage someone, we are imparting courage to them. Over the years, psychologists have studied words and found that they have a profound effect on the human brain. The truth is, words have power. Words can either breathe life or death into the soul, build up someone's spirit or tear it down. They either encourage or discourage. This is no middle round. Research have proven that brain function is at its best and quality of life, its peak, when we are processing positive rather than negative words.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today, we are going to talk about the power of encouragement, how encouragement works. The third advice, or the third suggestion that we are going to present to you, respectable listeners, is that it is also necessary that good acts and works of the child are appreciated and not his person. This way, he will understand that he is praised for what he does and not for what he is. The importance of every person is because of his achievements. The fourth suggestion that we are going to make here is that while praising a child, we should be aware of this point, that we never compare him with other children. For example, The father should not tell to his son, "You are good and truthful boy," unlike Hassan, who is a liar. Wow, this is a very dangerous sentence to be said. This attitude might make the child form a poor opinion about the other boy. While comparing the children, the parent is doing faulty upbringing of the good child. The fifth advice that we can suggest to the respective listeners here is that the praises and commendations of the child must be within certain limits. Excess of these might make the child proud or conceited. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
One question: how to encourage others? Pay attention and listen. The foundation of good communications skills is the ability to listen. If we can suspend judgment for even a few moments, we might even hear what is really being said and offer words of encouragement instead of judgment. Listening to someone else is important, and the other person feels heard when we just listen without interruption. It's a great way to build rapport and understanding to what you are going through. Ask what they need, how you can support them. Remember, encouragement means supporting someone, but only in ways that really help them. So stop and listen before you rush into help. Good communication skills are not something that comes naturally to everyone. So think about learning.
I only knew love when I knew love of thee. I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see my heart's inner secrets, but thou I don't see.
If you remember, we have a part entitled Motivational Islamic Quotes. We go for it today. When a man says, "I cannot," he has made a suggestion to himself. He has weakened his power to accomplishing that which otherwise would have been accomplished. There was a quote of Muhammad Ali. Oh, I love this one. "You say you can't, and it's no longer a mystery that you won't." The first step to achieving anything is believing that Allah the Almighty has given you the capacity to do it. The second step is to put sincere effort into it, to work for it. And the last step is to have tawakkul, or trust in Allah, and trust Him. If you say you can't, you've already lost. You never gave yourself the chance.
It's easy to show up when you're excited, when everything's going your way, when the motivation is high. But can you show up when things aren't going your way? Can you show up when it's hard, when it's inconvenient, when you're tired and frustrated? That's the true test. And when you pass that test, when you show up consistently day after day, you start to build something incredible. You start to build momentum. Each small action builds on the last, and before you know it, you've created a wave of progress that carries you forward. And that momentum that's powerful. It pushes you through the tough days. It makes it easier to keep going because you've already invested so much time and effort that stopping now feels like a betrayal of everything you've worked for. But here's the thing about consistency. It's not just about putting in the time. It's about putting in the right kind of time. It's about being intentional with your actions. Just going through the motions isn't enough. You have to bring focus and energy to what you're doing, even on the days when it feels like a grind. Consistency isn't about being robotic. It's about being relentless. It's about constantly striving to improve, to get a little better each day, even when it feels like you're not making progress. And that's another important point. Consistency doesn't always yield immediate results. In fact, most of the time, the results come much later. It's like planting seeds. You don't see the fruit right away, but if you keep tending to the soil, keep watering, keep nurturing, eventually you'll have a garden full of abundance. But that only happens if you're patient enough to wait for the harvest. Too many people give up right before they would have seen the results. They plant the seeds, but when they don't see growth right away, they walk away. Don't be that person. Understand that consistency is a long game. It's not about quick wins. It's about sustained effort over time. And that's why consistency is more powerful than motivation. Motivation might get you started, but it's consistency that keeps you going.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us, and inshallah we meet you soon. Fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. My dear listeners, welcome back, where we explore the profound teachings and reflections of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Today we focus on a moment shared by Lady Fatima salamullah alayha, highlighting her deep awareness of life, death, and the significance of worship. Lady Fatima said, "I reflected on my condition and my efforts upon the passing of my life and my descent into my grave. I compared my entry into my bed to my entry into my grave. I beseech you, if you rise for prayer, let us worship Allah this night." When exactly did she say that? Guess. Right at the first night of her marriage to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Can you believe that? It's kind of strange to you, right? She said that I remember, and I just thought of my first night in grave, and let us worship this night. Let us do prayers. Let us worship Allah. So this is significant. She always remembered the day of judgment. She always didn't lose the sight of that day that she would return back to God and she would be held responsible for what she has done. This is Lady Fatima, salamallahu alayhi, our example, our role model, the one that we should follow. So, in this moment, Lady Fatima shares her reflections on life and mortality as she transitions into her new home with Imam Ali alayhi salam. She contemplates the inevitable reality of death. Her comparison between entering that house, the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam, entering her grave reveals a profound awareness of the transient nature of life, and that she looks she sees maybe the future, and 10 years later, 20 years later, how about us? Do we look at Do we see the future of us? What's going to become of us? And how are we going to die? In what situation? In what circumstances? What kind of person we are at the time of death? So we should reflect. And this reflection encourages us to be mindful of our own mortality. How often do we consider the fleeting moments of our lives? Lady Fatima's contemplation serves as a reminder that every moment is precious and we should not take our time for granted. Inshallah, we would not be forgetful of the Day of Judgment and the things that we should do in accord to that awareness. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin. محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me, brother Mahdi.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are talking about a famous Quran reciter, and then we are going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and then beside all these parts, we are going to have some other Quranic parts, which are going to be presented to you throughout the program. So don't go away. On June 18th, 2015, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, said, "The purpose of all this emphasis on reciting the Holy Quran in a good voice, in a beautiful tone, and by observing the requirements is that the Quranic concepts influence hearts, that we establish a close relationship with the Holy Quran, and that we take a Quranic mold and color. If this is the goal, then it has certain requirements and conventions. The first convention is that a reciter of the Holy Quran should recite the book by believing in the Holy Quran and the concepts that he is reciting. If we do not know what we are reading, if we do not understand the concepts, and if it does not influence us in a deep way, then our recitation will exert little influence on others and on us. This is the first condition. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mansur al-Shami ad-Dimanhuri. Sheikh Mansur al-Shami ad-Dimanhuri is one of the Egyptian reciters of the Golden Age of Recitation, who appeared exactly at the same era as reciters such as Abdul Fattah Sha'sha'i, Mustafa Ismail, Muhammad Siddiq Minshawi, and Abdul Basit. He was born in 1906 in the city of Dimanhur, in Al-Bahira Governorate. Since his childhood, he began learning the Quran under the care of Ahmad Ghazal. Later, he moved to Tanta in order to learn Quranic sciences. Due to his attractive and pleasant voice, after learning different Quranic sciences, Sheikh Mansur Dimanhuri moved to Alexandria, to the point where he became the director of the Society of Reciters in Alexandria. And he would recite the Quran and offer prayers in Morsi Abul Abbas Mosque in the city. Sheikh Mansur al-Dimenhuri, passed away in 1959. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mansur al-Shami al-Dimenhuri, reciting Surah Muhammad, verses 33 to 36, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and render not vain your deeds. Verily, those who disbelieve and hinder from the path of Allah, then die while they are disbelievers, Allah will not forgive them. So be not weak, and ask not for peace while you are having the upper hand. Allah is with you, and will never decrease the reward of your good deeds. The life of this world is but play and pastime. But if you believe and fear Allah and avoid evil, He will grant you your wages and will not ask you your wealth.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله ثم ماتوا وهم كفار فلن يغفر الله لهم فلا تهنوا وتدعوا إلى السلم وأنتم الأعلون والله معكم وأنتم الأعلون والله معكم ولن يتركم أعمالكم إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا يؤتكم أجوركم ولا يسألكم أموالكم صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, verses 33 to 36, recited by Sheikh Mansur al-Shami al-Dimenhuri. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, this was a studio recitation, and you all know that studio recitations usually are not as powerful and effective as live recitations because of the feedback that the reciter gets from
the audience
and also the atmosphere, the mood of the recitation is affected by the people that are around you, and you're not feeling alone when you recite the Quran. And we see that this studio recitation was not so powerful. I'm sure if we listen to A live recitation from this reciter, Sheikh Mansur al-Shami al-Damanhouri, probably his live recitations are a lot better. Let's go over some of the points, the tajweed points.
Good idea.
Ya ayyuha. We have matul munfasil.
Disjunct
the mad. Disjunct mad. It means that you have a long vowel, such as an alif, ya, or wawul mad, followed by a hamza. Okay? But yes. The hamza is in another word. In a separate word. It's not in the same word as the long vowel.
Yes.
So that is why we have a matul munfasil, a disjunct mad. And when you have a matul munfasil, you have three options. You could lengthen it to two, which is known as
qasr.
Qasr of matul munfasil.
Or normal mad.
Just like a matul tabi'i, the natural mad, which is two vowels.
Uh-huh.
Two vowel counts. Then you can lengthen it to, if you want, you can lengthen it to four vowel counts, which is tawassut.
Mm-hmm.
Or five vowel counts, which is fawq tawassut.
Yes.
Okay. But you have to be consistent.
And this is the point.
Med. Yes. And we see the same thing in this recitation by Sheikh Mansur al-Damanhouri.
That is actually all these options that you mentioned take place just the first time you come across
a, yes, that's right. The first time, yes. And we see that the other matul munfasils are lengthened to two vowel counts, just like the first one by Sheikh al-Damanhouri. For example, amanu ati'u, amanu ati'u, and tubtilu a'malakum.
All of them are recited with qasr.
Yes, that's right. And another point is the ta. Ta, whenever it has the kasra or ya'ul mad, has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'ullah. Ati'ullah. Okay, it's not ati'ullah. You should not
exaggerate.
Exaggerate the tafkhim, and also it should not be too high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبَطِلُوا تُبَطِلُوا. Again, the ta has a kasra. So just like Sheikh al-Damanhouri pronounced the ta, you have to pronounce it with the lowest level of tafkhim.
And the qalqala of ba.
Yeah.
Is worth mentioning, I think.
Yes. You know, the rule of qalqala is one of the most simple and straightforward rules of tajweed, because all reciters, almost all famous reciters, Egyptian reciters, they observe qalqala. It's almost impossible to find one good reciter of the Quran from Egypt who does not apply qalqala
mm-hmm.
in his recitation. Of course, the last letters, for example, whenever they stop on a word which has a qalqala at the end, yes, that's possible. We might not hear the qalqala for those words. But whenever it's in the middle of the utterance, they always apply the qalqala.
Mm-hmm. And a final point, brother?
Okay, now, this recitation also had, I think, I would say one mistake in terms of tajweed. He said, antum, almost. This should be ikhfa.
Ikhfa should take place.
Antum, not antum. We should hear the approximation of the letter ta while the nasalization is made for two counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But he puts the tongue in the place of articulation.
Yeah,
of
it's
ta.
As though he puts the tongue in the place of articulation of ta.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful Hello everyone, brothers and sisters I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua In this edition of the program we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss. فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَةِ Brothers and sisters, we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ You have decreed your worship for your servants. وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ You commanded them to supplicate you. وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَةِ You assured them that they would be answered. فَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّ نَصَبْتُ وَجْهِ So toward you, my Lord, I have turned my face. وَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّ مَدَدْتُ يَدِي And toward you, my Lord, I have extended my hand. Regarding the acceptance of prayers and supplications, we said in the previous episode that there are different necessary conditions to be met for the acceptance of prayers. And when the Almighty Allah says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعِي إِذَا دَعَانَ I answer surely the prayer of the supplicant when he calls on me. It is based on different conditions and prerequisites. And those conditions are to be found in the different verses of the Holy Qur'an and even in the traditions of Ahlul Bayt. It is narrated, for example, that the Israelis were affected by famine for 7 years. 70,000 of them went to a desert to pray for rain. Now, in that situation, there came a divine address. O Moses, say to them, how should I accept your prayer while your sins have embraced you and your hearts are covered with evil? Do you call upon me while you do not believe in me? Go to one of my servants named Burkh so that he would ask me, and I would accept it. Moses looked for that man, but he could not find him. One day, he was passing a place where he saw a black slave on whose forehead was the sign of prostration and who had hung something on his neck. Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, thought that he was Burkh, so he asked him of his name. He answered, I am. My name is Burkh. Moses said, I have been looking for you for a while. Pray for rain. That man went to the desert and said in his prayers, O Allah, withholding the rain from your servants is below your dignity. There is no stinginess in your presence. Is it that your mercy is weakened, or that the winds have disobeyed you? Or your resources have terminated, or your wrath to the sinners has increased. were you not the forgiver before creating the sinners? He had not even moved from his place, the tradition says, when it started to rain, to that extent that all the Israelis' thirst was quenched.
Verily, you have ordained for your servants your worship, and bidden them to supplicate unto you, and have assured them of your response. So, my Lord, I look earnestly towards you, and towards you, my Lord, I have stretched forth my hands. Therefore, by your honor, respond to my prayers, and let me attain my wishes. And by your bounty, frustrate not my hopes, and protect me from the evils of my enemies, from among the jinns and mankind.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Dear listeners, even in this tradition of the Ahlul Bayt and the story of Prophet Moses, ala nabina wa alihi wa alihi salam, you can see that the supplication of the man is accepted by the Almighty Allah, and the supplication of all those people are not accepted because of one small nuance, one small important point. The point is that those people who went to the desert to pray for rain had their sins with them. They, as the Almighty Allah said to Moses, how should I accept your prayer while your sins have embraced you? They had committed so many sins that their hearts were covered with evil. So the Almighty Allah says, I do not accept such supplication. But now let us have a look at the supplication of this man, Burkh. At first, he began his supplication by naming him, O Allah. This means, O Allah, I have recognized who you are. I have known your attributes. I have known where I'm standing. I know my position and yours too. I know where and I know from whom I'm asking. So he continued, O Allah, withholding the rain from your servants is below your dignity. This means he knows that he is one of the servants of the Almighty Allah. He knows one of the great attributes of the Almighty Allah, which is his dignity. So he names them. Naming these attributes out loud is one of those conditions. Then he moves on, there is no stinginess in your presence. This means he knows the Almighty Allah's attributes completely, and that's why he has come to him to supplicate. That's why he knows the Almighty Allah as the forgiver before creating the sinners. This causes the Almighty Allah to accept the supplication, and this is how they get rain, enough rain, to the extent that their thirst is quenched. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through
every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Iran Radio. This is a new episode of Back to Reality. Thank you for joining us. This is Asma. I am very much honored to be here. And then, like always, we have two very dear guests, Brother Atta and Brother Muhammad Javad. So there's a ritual, and I would like you to introduce yourself very much briefly.
Thank you very much. This is Muhammad Javad, and thank you for having me in the program. And, well, I'm a PhD in applied linguistics.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. I'm Brother Atta. Very happy to be here. I've got my PhD in media management.
Well, that's amazing. So we're going to have a very beautiful discussion today, I guess. We are going to talk about the devil, and we have two sides of the devil, the linguistics and the media management.
Okay.
If we want to define our life, we always have our own perspective. If you are about to sum up life in only some sentences, what will you say? Generally,
okay,
when you hear the word life, what would come to your mind as a connotation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, lots of energy.
Yes.
Then happiness, mm-hmm, prosperity.
And you, Brother Muhammad Javad?
Life, as my brother said, actually, it's full of energy, enthusiasm, dynamism. And somehow the opposite might also cross my mind, like,
for sure,
death, for example.
Yeah.
Or whatever is actually engaged in life as this kind of journey that everybody takes,
mm-hmm,
from birth to death. And,
yeah,
of course, I might add that death is not the end, you know, for
sure,
those people who at least believe in
the hereafter.
The other realms of existence, basically, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah. So now, based on your definitions, and I'm sure if we ask the audience about their definition of life, there is no place for the devil. But the question is, why do we accuse him so much?
Accuse devil?
Yeah. For everything.
See. Mostly, I accuse myself, not, mm-hmm, devil, of doing wrong. Because
deep down, really,
I do,
you
deep,
accuse
deep down,
yourself?
Really, I accuse myself, not Satan.
So
Satan's
you're
over
a very
here.
Just judge.
Yeah, I do. He's doing his work.
Yeah, there are so many people who feels like there is a power inside of them that, uh-huh, actually encourages them into doing wrong things. The wrongs that even they themselves do not believe that I was capable of doing this.
So now you're talking about,
I mean
the societal,
yeah,
powers and the influences of the society, okay? Even if you are not directly involved in doing a wrong action, there is still a Satan.
Yeah, well,
who's working collectively, okay, on the other
but
side.
But then, you know how the world is going. After, mm-hmm, the modernism and postmodernism,
yeah,
things have changed. After the story of deconstruction, people are trying to believe that there is no binary opposition. Like, you shouldn't make the story, mm-hmm, look like this, good and bad,
yeah,
evil and angel.
It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Who says this is bad?
Jack Derrida's point about the binary opposition.
Yeah, they're trying to, even if you look at the movies or stories, you would see that. You sometimes would side with the Satan.
Yeah.
You sometimes would side with the person
you mean
the character
it's not always black
not
and white.
Exactly.
There is always the gray area everywhere where you go, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But there are some people who are, I guess, more satanic than the Satan.
Yeah, can't we say so? Yeah, because
basically.
I guess human beings are more creative.
Yeah, and
if they want to be.
And there's also a kind of mention or implication of that in also the religious text that we have, especially I'm talking about the Quran, right? It's talking about different kinds of nafs, right?
Exactly.
Or selves.
Yeah.
If we translate it this way, I mean, into self or not the other things. You know, some people, in fact, translated it into also ego.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example...
Alter ego.
Not alter ego. That's a different story, you know?
Yeah.
Like ego or self or the other things, you know? But we know that there are different forms of the self.
Yeah.
It's not only, it doesn't come in one form, right? Like starting with actually what the Quran calls it, nafs ammare, right?
Yeah.
So this is like, what do you call it?
It would be like the Eid, if you just remember.
Exactly. I just wanted to mention that, if you don't mind me borrowing Freud's terminology for this, of course there are lots of differences between what, that Freudian perspective of, you know, the mind, the tripartite division of the mind that he came up with or devised, like the id, ego, and superego, that those are basically the angelic and demonic parts that could be balanced by ego.
By ego.
But it is balanced by ego.
No, super the id and ego are
super
balanced
ego
by
ego is the
super
angelic
ego.
Part that tries to actually elevate human beings into being spiritual, into transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
But id is actually the demonic part that tries to, degrade human beings into less forms or life
to
forms,
drag
basically.
Them down.
Yeah, but ego comes in actually and try to create the balance between the two. Right. This is what the Freud was talking
about. At the end of the day, I think there is a major difference between what Abrahamic religions believe in the existence of Satan, what Freud or these postmodern brothers.
No, it was just an analogy make it more
brothers.
Understandable.
But I know that it very much depends whether you define the terms in terms of the psychology, which is very much referring to your mind power
I prefer the
divine soul and a creature. Because, I mean, especially in the modern centuries, there have been so many schools of thought who look for the justification of the sinning. And, how people justify their committing sins or how people are looking after rewards. So they could not, or maybe they were not even familiar, quote unquote, with the so-called Abrahamic schools of thought in terms of the mysticism and religious perspectives. So that's why they refer to psychology and psychoanalysis, which I think and I believe this is a product or byproduct of the modern industrialized world, so-called developed world. So the existence of such...
So it's a way of justification in order to forget about the metaphysics?
Yes.
The powers that go beyond.
And just in order to find the answer to the, quote-unquote, so-called superstitious people who are looking for, metaphysical forces for their committing sins. So two approaches, two really different approaches, and one of them is very much limited to your brain-mind power, the other one to your soul power. But all in all, at the end of the day, there is still something happening in your mind and brain called satanic power. I mean, even if it is your mind mechanism and brain mechanism which is producing all these negative aspects, there must still be a source to that thinking power. It is not going to be started from the very rationality power, because the rationality itself says that there is a dark side to your action and there is a bright side.
Yeah. Listeners of Iran Radio, you're listening to Back to Reality, and we're talking about Satan. And as you know, when we open up such a big Pandora's box, a lot of different branches would come out of it.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.